The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Station.
It's 8 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game tonight.
Let's keep it going now.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Triple at Night is what it is in the college football playoff rankings for December 3rd, 2024. Hot off the presses. Few surprises, clearly. And I've got some opinions on this, believe me. Oregon, number one, no problem there. Texas is number two. Penn State, three. Notre Dame, four. Georgia, number five. We got Ohio State at six. And how is Ohio State ranked ahead of Tennessee? I don't get it. Tennessee is seven. SMU, eight. Indiana, nine. Boise State, 10. Alabama gets in at number 11, as currently constituted. Miami, the Hurricanes are number 12, Ole Miss 13, South Carolina 14. I'm sorry, there is not a team in the top 12 that wants anything to do with South Carolina right now. I don't care what you say about, well, you know, South Carolina lost to Alabama. Yeah, they lost. Talking about recently, though, the overall resume trumps head-to-head. In South Carolina has beaten three top 25 teams, they should be in. And plus, I would love to see something good happen to South Carolina. That fan base is fun. That game day experience is electric up there. Dom, you know the only banner South Carolina has in their stadium? I might have the year wrong, but I think it's 1968 ACC champions. That's
really?
It. They've won nothing.
Really?
Yep. And they've had some pretty decent teams. They've certainly been a lot to deal with over the years, but they have not had that one monstrous season. And Coach Beamer up there has done a magnificent job, and I can't believe that. In Alabama, so you lose the way you lose to a couple of sub-500 teams. You lose ugly at Oklahoma, who's terrible this year, by what, 21 points? You still get in? That's absurd. Miami, how about playing some defense? You see what Georgia Tech did to Miami on Sunday, a couple weeks ago? They not only beat them on the scoreboard, they physically beat them, dominated them. They go up 21-0 at Syracuse, end up losing that game because their defense is abysmal.
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I know. That's exactly how I feel about
it. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Of course, these aren't etched in stone for the most part. I think basically your top 10 are etched in stone. Your 11 and 12, that could change here and there. I mean, if Clemson wins the ACC championship, they're definitely in. But if they're not, if they lose, SMU's going to get in. SMU may get in regardless. I don't know. In the way, if the playoffs were to start today, of course, let's see, Oregon, Texas, Boise State, SMU would all have byes. Your 8-9 matchup would be Ohio State hosting Tennessee. I don't know if I want, if you're a Southern team, do you want to go to that, go to Columbus, Ohio on December 20th? I don't think you do.
Ooh.
Georgia would be hosting Indiana. Indiana, great story.
I was going to
say. They've only had eight winning seasons since 1980. It's a great story.
Mm-hmm. And
but you hadn't played anybody. The only team you played, you lost. That was Ohio State. And you were clearly outclassed.
Mm-hmm.
You just do not have the depth. It's a great story.
Yep.
I'm excited for them because they even had good basketball to root for up there in Bloomington forever.
Listen, hey, India, be happy you made it to the dance. You got invited to the party. That's nice. You'll be escorted out shortly.
And it looks like Penn State would be hosting Arizona State. That's been a good story this year, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame would be traveling to Tuscaloosa. So, okay. I don't know what to say other than the fact that I really think South Carolina deserves to be in. And I keep hearing, you keep hearing the notion that, South Carolina lost to Alabama and Ole Miss. How could they possibly get in the playoffs over them? Head-to-head only matters when all else is equal. One team clearly has a better resume than Ole Miss or Alabama. That's South Carolina. South Carolina's on a 6-game winning streak. They have 4 wins over top 25 teams. If head-to-head mattered, then let's put Northern Illinois in over Notre Dame then, right? If head-to-head matters.
Right.
I just, unbelievable.
And also, Miami is, crashing and burning.
They are.
Down the stretch. How do they still make it? You lose 2 of your last 3.
Yeah.
And you still.
And that's a bad loss at Georgia Tech, because Georgia Tech punished you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I know it's always weird to go to the Carrier Dome. How many times in the past, when even when Dabo was at the peak of his powers at Clemson, they'd go up there and maybe stub their toe or have to scratch and claw to get a win. Something about going to the Carrier Dome and playing Syracuse is really tough. It's just one of those places.
It gets
to
people. Yeah, it gets to them.
But this is it's crazy. But we're going to figure it out. It'll kind of work itself out with the conference championship games. But Miami should not be in. Alabama should not. Yeah, but we're Alabama. No, you're not Saban's Alabama. Sorry.
Yeah,
no, so you're not. No.
Yeah, you're not Alabama.
You've got 3 losses.
Yeah.
You lost to Oklahoma on the road by 21. You lost to Vanderbilt. Tennessee beat you.
My Georgia State Panthers didn't lose to Vanderbilt, though.
That's true. Isn't that crazy? Vanderbilt comes down here and Georgia State beats them.
I mean, ipso facto, Georgia State's better than Bama.
Yeah. Yeah, when you play, was that the transitive property thing? Well, so-and-so beat so-and-so, so we must be better than so-and-so.
Exactly.
We beat so-and-so. It's crazy. South Carolina's a team that I really think should be in there, but what are you going to do?
I'm looking at Miami's schedule right now, too, and there's no impressive wins.
They have no wins over ranked teams.
And
they had to scratch and claw. Remember California? Cal was up big time.
They had
to scratch and claw and come back and beat them.
They had to scratch and claw against Virginia Tech. That was a 38-34 game. They barely beat Louisville 52-45.
And Louisville's, what, a 4-loss team?
This resume is unimpressive.
Wow. Unbelievable. Everybody talks about certain conference bias. I don't know. What is this thing about Miami? Is it romanticizing the notion? We've been wanting Miami back for so long.
We want the U back.
Yeah, they have the number one recruiting class, top 5 recruiting class. The U is back, baby. We've been hearing it for the past 10 years. And the knock on Mario Cristobal is the fact that he's a great recruiter. In-game head coach, not so much. So, again, your college football playoff rankings as are currently constituted today. Well.
And as the rankings sit right now, this would mean that if Georgia does what we would expect them to do in the first round, you'd probably be taking on Texas
for a third time? Yeah. Yeah, they could, theoretically, yeah. Do we really want to see that? But right now, Georgia would be hosting Indiana. So, again, Oregon number 1, followed by Texas, Penn State 3, Notre Dame 4, Georgia 5, Ohio State 6, Tennessee 7, SMU 8, Indiana 9, Boise State 10, Alabama 11, Miami 12. But Arizona State, though, they have their conference championship game, right? And who they have in that one? This is crazy. It doesn't seem like there's any true criteria to the whole thing. even Kirby Smart said, I don't know what they want.
Yeah, it's...
Does margin of victory mean anything? Strength of schedule, does that mean anything? Does it? I don't know.
I feel like they just pick and choose when certain things matter.
It seems like it. It's like they wet their finger and stick it up in the air. But wow, unbelievable. South Carolina probably beat at least five or six of the top 12 teams, I'm convinced, as well as they're playing. And I'm not a South Carolina fan. Like I said, I would like to see something good happen to that program because, like I said, their only banner is like the 1968 ACC championship. And they've had a few good years here and there. But, of course, this is an etch, so you still have the conference championship games to decide everything. What if Nevada beats Boise State? Nevada's not going to get in. So, a lot of things up in the air right now. But as far as Alabama being in, give me a break. Give me a freaking break. Ole Miss, forget it. Lane Kiffin wins just enough to where he can be considered for the next job.
That's
all it boils down to. And I love Lane Kiffin. I think he's a great personality for college football. I think he is a good offensive mind, but just doesn't win enough. But he certainly took Georgia to the woodshed. I got to give him credit for that. Yeah. So this is going to change. You know, at least your 11 and 12 are probably going to change after next weekend. But Alabama, and that's just ridiculous.
9-3 Alabama. Did you think it would? Did you think that they would be a three-loss team at the beginning of the year with DeBoer taking over?
I just wasn't sure. And when you saw the which game was it? Was it the Tennessee game where that Alabama defensive back just lost his mind?
Yeah.
Temper tent.
Mm-hmm.
You never would have saw that with Nick Saban.
Yep. Yep.
Not in a second. Saban had the fear of God in those kids, and they would not ever. Kalen Board just not quite the disciplinarian, does not command the respect. And he's a great coach. He is. He's a fine coach. He's won everywhere he's been. He was the best guy to get that job, I think, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
I made the joke. I think he sold his soul to beat Georgia, and they're paying for the they're paying the bill.
And by the way, Carson Beck, as much heat as he's gotten, I think over the last three games, 11 touchdown passes, zero interceptions.
He's played better. He has played better.
And we know this is not the Georgia teams of a few years ago. It's impossible to maintain that with the portal and everything else, and it's just that's just the nature. I mean, otherwise, Nick Saban would have won five in a row at one point, right? But it just doesn't happen anymore.
Do you put any stock into the Carson Beck comments about him saying that he, outside of watching film, he doesn't like to watch football because it's stressful?
I saw that tweet, and Mike Bell actually had a thing. Well, maybe it's because you don't like watching your receivers. His receivers are a mess, but Kirby's going to fix that.
Yeah.
Your defensive line hasn't been as dominant as it traditionally has been. Your offensive line has gotten better, but Georgia's offensive line traditionally mauled people. They didn't necessarily maul people consistently this year. You're just not quite as good. But guess what? You still have a chance. You have Georgia could totally win a national championship.
You're still going to be playing in a conference championship game?
I will say this. As much as I don't like necessarily the complete college football round, I don't think Miami should be in there, nor Alabama. I think South Carolina should be. I mean, most of these teams have a bona fide chance to win it out. Indiana has no shot, I don't think. Notre Dame certainly could. Penn State with James Franklin. No, that would entail him beating a top 10 team. That just doesn't happen. Texas could. Oregon certainly could. I think even Ohio State could. Even after what happened with Michigan, that roster is so talented. If you could just play according to what your roster entails, that's an explosive throw the ball to those athletic wide receivers rather than trying to go mano-to-mano with a physical team like Michigan. That's not your identity.
They win a national title but lose to Michigan again next year. Does Ryan Day get fired?
Maybe. Maybe. He might want to quit because I'm sure his life is absolutely
That'd be five
hell.
In a row if they lose to them next year?
That's unacceptable, man. That's like John Cooper type stuff, I think, right? SMU has no chance, but there are several teams that do. Ohio State does. I think Tennessee does. Georgia does. Notre Dame. Penn State does have a chance, but, you know, James Franklin against the highly ranked teams doesn't seem to pass the muster. But it's going to be exciting. College football playoffs, due to all the nonsense associated with college football and the entitlement and the fact these young kids are making so much money, even though they haven't really accomplished a whole lot. There's your huge intangible. There's your huge wild card. Anything can happen. The college football playoff can be every bit as exciting and unpredictable as March Madness for the most part. Interesting stuff. All right, we're going to come back. What did I say I wanted to do now? I even forgot my own rundown. I got so fired up about this thing. Let's get back into the Falcons, certainly. We are the flagship station of the Atlanta Falcons. And let's open up the phone lines. Why not? 404-726-0929. You've had a couple of days to think about this Falcons loss. The defense did come around. Kirk Cousins, he can't be just trash for the rest of the season, right? Do the Falcons have a chance to put something together and actually go 10-7 or at least 9-8. I'd love to hear from you next. I have my thoughts on it. Sports Radio 99 The Game.
This is 92.9 The Game Tonight.
Yes, top-rated in late-night radio.
Talking all things Atlanta sports with you.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Tribble at Night. That's what this is. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. College football playoff rankings are out. Oregon 1, followed by Texas. Penn State 3, Notre Dame 4, Georgia number 5, Ohio State 6, Tennessee 7, SMU, Indiana 9, Boise 10, Alabama and Miami. Those are my 2 points of contention now. Neither one of you should be in. And then, of course, we have Ole Miss at number 13. South Carolina should be ranked in. South Carolina should be number 12 at the very least. Arizona State, and they've got their Big 12 championship game against Iowa State. If they win that, they're going to be in. So these aren't etched in stone. Those last few spots will change after championship Saturday. Of course, Georgia taking on Texas. 4 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz in Georgia. Not going to be easy beating Texas twice, especially coming off such a physical, emotional 8 overtime victory over Georgia Tech. But at least you don't have to really travel. But just a week off between something like that is going to be very difficult. Texas didn't have too much trouble with Texas A&M, and it's going to be tough. But Georgia dominated that first matchup, so Texas has some revenge on their mind, and they would love the pride of coming into the self-important, egotistical SEC and winning that title their first year in the league. And, of course, Hawks have won 4 in a row. Going to Milwaukee tomorrow night. Milwaukee struggled out the gate. They've won 8 of their last 10. LeBron and the Lakers on Friday, then the Joker, Mr. Jokic in Denver on Sunday. Hawks are 11-11 and actually looking like a pretty entertaining product. All credit to the Hawks front office, which I have maligned and mocked, deservedly so. But if you do something well, I'm going to give you praise also.
Exactly. I'll say they deserve some of the criticism.
Absolutely. As for the Falcons, they have now lost 3 in a row, 6-6, tied. Basically tied with a division lead with Tampa Bay, who is also 6-6. Of course, you also have the tiebreaker, but I'm telling you, I just fundamentally think Tampa Bay's – I know you beat them twice. You got lucky to beat them twice. That just happens in the NFL. I think Tampa Bay's a tougher team, a more resilient team, better defense. But maybe the Falcons' defense has turned a corner after what they did against the Chargers on Sunday. But offensively, oof. And the fans are clamoring for a Michael Penix. You're not going to see it this weekend. I would like to see maybe a package with him. Get him in the game. Unscouted look. What's the knock on the Falcons' offense? Kind of predictable. And when you're running that jet sweep and you have, what, Darnell Mooney blocking on the edge? Let's have your smallest guy try. What is the notion of the sweep? What Vince Lombardi said. A seal here and a seal here, and you run it up the alley. You're not going to get the seal with a 5'9", 180-pound guy.
Yeah.
Sorry. Figure that out. All right, we got some callers out there now. I know I'm trying to muster some confidence the Falcons can't go up there and beat Minnesota. Minnesota's not a perfect team. It's the NFL. I've fundamentally been saying Falcons have 5 winnable games left. They have 5 losable games left, and there's no guarantees against Carolina, which is playing much, much better. Let's go down to College Park, where a lot of my family is buried in College Park Cemetery, by the way. Hello, JP. What you got?
Hey, Rob, what's going on tonight, man?
Thanks for calling, man. What's on your mind? Talk to me.
My thing with Raheem, he just like Oscar Smith used to be. You ask him a question, he always fast talk. You know, he had no idea what's going on. So if he had any idea what's going on, he'll take over the team and give him somebody you know what and try to get this offense together. But they need to put Kirk Cousins right behind that center. And put both of the backs back there, Isaiah and
I thought that too, JP. But keep going.
And another thing, our defense, we good enough to hold up. But see, the problem is, our offense can't keep up with the opponent offense, and that's where we're in trouble, man. I mean, appreciate you taking my call.
All right. Yeah. What's with the pistol? What happened to putting me under center? Play action. And I like the – look, I have never claimed to be all that sophisticated about X's and O's, but I can intelligently watch a football game and tell you what's working and not working and not working, who's playing well, who's not playing well. I can see that. But what is wrong with maybe having a 2-back sec? Again, an unscouted look. Am I naive about that? What's wrong with putting them both in the backfield? I don't know. Am I wrong, Dom? I don't know.
I don't think that you're wrong. I think that this is just the – this is kind of the growing pains of having a first-year play caller.
That's true.
You know, he has to kind of go through that and understand all of the different nuances and you know, okay, it's not just
and he has to get that
play.
Body of work to understand what he's doing wrong.
Exactly.
But when you start repeating the same things and for all purposes, it seems like it has been a bit predictable at times.
Yes, it's their offense is very formulaic. Yes,
and the fact that Raheem Morris, he lost me. We was talking about, and I kind of summarized what he was saying. You know. Kyle Pitts, he's actually won some of his one-on-one matches. We have to get the ball to him. No, he hasn't. He gave up on one route. We saw that. It just seems like he's not even interested in playing football.
I'll say this. I have two issues with that statement. One, he isn't winning some of them. And two, for a guy that was picked where he was, he should be winning more than some.
Oh, yeah.
I expect him to win all of the one-on-one matchups.
Yeah. He's 4 years in, and Brock Bowers, the rookie out of Georgia,
is already a better tight end than him.
Oh, much better. Light years better.
Light years.
Isn't it funny how he and Ladd McConkey are just lighting up the NFL? I think they're first and third as far as rookies go in receiving yards and catches and touchdowns, et cetera, et cetera. And credit to Ladd McConkey and the Falcons. Good Lord. He was their own. Ladd McConkey was I keep wanting to call him San Diego.
Because they should be in San Diego.
Yeah, they should be San Diego. The Chargers, really number one receiving option. Everybody else, they're just Jags, just another guy.
Yeah.
And yet, he was still seemingly open all afternoon. And some people say, well, you shut him down the second half. No, I think he got hurt.
Yeah, no, he got hurt.
He got hurt. He was hobbled. So, and you still could not account for that. All right, let's go up to Smyrna and Mark. Hello, Mark. What you got?
Hey, how you doing, Rob? You know, I think Georgia is the center of the football universe with all that we have going on, the bowl games, national championship, and the game of the year last year. But if we can fix the Falcons, I think that, you know, the one of the things that Raheem is doing, he's not making in-game adjustments. 2 weeks ago or in the last 3 weeks, we were talking about the defense, how they were laying off, and he wouldn't make the adjustments. In this one,
that's the scheme.
The game plan seemed to go to Drake, and they targeted him so many times, and Kirk wouldn't lay off of it.
Yeah.
Even when he was covered. So it's like, and Raheem is not talking to the coordinators and saying, "What are you guys doing?"
All right, man.
Go ahead.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate your call. Yeah. Well, that's the scheme right there. You're playing your DBs deep. That they're allowing everything underneath because they don't want anything to get behind. Okay, great. Okay, fine. But that's kind of been the scheme. But what does that do? That's what hinders your pass rush in a lot of ways also, because if all that real estate is open underneath, the quarterback can get rid of the ball quickly. And, okay, well, if you're not going to give us a big play, we'll take the 8 yards that you're going to give us on first down. Thank you.
Yeah,
I think that affects your pressure too. I mean, isn't that football 101? All right, let's go to we got Johnny Disco in Buford. Johnny Disco, I hope you're wearing bold prints tonight, as you called me. Satin bold prints. Why the name Johnny Disco?
Hey, what's up, Rob? Look, man, I just want to keep it real clear, man. The Falcons right now with Kirk Cousins, man, he's a liability. He's got one skill set. He doesn't move his feet. We're so predictable on offense. Defense, the opposing defenses come in with one plan, and they don't have to have a contingency plan with us. There's no, well, what if he rolls out? What if he scrambles? We don't keep the defense guessing. It's too easy to play defense against us because our main guy does only one thing. And unfortunately, the last 3 weeks, he hasn't been doing that one thing, not even at a high level. We've got to change something, man. We need another package. We got to get him out of the pistol, put him back under center, and use the running backs. You know, Tyler Algier is a great player. But for some reason, they're not putting the ball in his hands. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. It's frustrating to watch. Coach Morris has too much loyalty on another thing. He's got too much loyalty to Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is a bust. I'm tired of them being positive about Kyle Pitts. He is an absolute bust, man.
I agree. I appreciate your call, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, there you go. I still wonder why he calls himself Johnny Disco, though. He sounded like a young dude with a outdated nickname, as in Disco. I don't know.
He's an old soul.
I guess he's an old soul. That's true. Yep. All the callers' concerns, yep, very valid. A lot of people want to see Michael Penix. You're not going to see him Sunday unless Kirk Cousins has the disastrous first couple of drives or disastrous first half, then you may see him. I wish they'd at least have a package for him. Why not put him in there with both the running backs? That's not gimmickry.
Yeah.
Gimmickry doesn't really work in the NFL.
Right.
That's just a different look, though.
Exactly. And putting it, like, going back, so the Steelers do this. Like, this past game, the Steelers had an opportunity where they needed to pick up a first down. It was like a third and one or third and two, and they needed to pick up the first down essentially.
What was their setup then? Behind Russ?
Justin Fields comes in the game.
Where'd they put him?
They put him to literally do a read option play. They called him in for that play specifically.
Oh, okay, cool.
So they took Russ out of the game, put Justin in, he picks up the first down, and that essentially was what iced the game. Doing stuff like that just because Justin's better at that in those scenarios. So if you know that's a situation that you want, why not go out there, try and get that unscouted look?
Yeah, third and one, even Michael Pitt, yeah.
Put the best players on the field for the scenario.
Right, and it seems like as good as I think Kirk Cousins has been, he's a very distinguished pro. He's been a very good pro. He's made all that money for a reason. You can say he's overpaid. Yeah, maybe. But that's the market. But he stuck around for a reason because you got to realize this. What is it? 55% of your number one draft pick quarterbacks drafted in the first round end up being busts. It's just something. It's so amazing about the quarterback position. It's the most scrutinized. And nowadays, all those kids in high school, they're going to specialized camps and everything else. But yet still, the same problem still exists. You either hit or miss.
Yeah, you just either have it or you don't.
You either have it or you don't. And they don't know until after it's too late and they've already paid them. It's fascinating. Yeah, why not third and one bring in Michael Penix or a package with Michael Penix and Algier and Bijan Robinson? I don't know. Yeah. Am I naive about that?
I would just love to see a little bit more creativity.
Yeah, a little creativity. That's not gimmickry.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not because gimmickry doesn't work in the NFL that often. Sometimes it can, but for the most part, no. That's a bona fide solid setup in the defense. Well, what the hell? They can sit there and consider it as a contingency when you're preparing for the Falcons, but to actually see it, it's like, wow. Maybe they're saving it. I don't know. Well, if they're saving it, it's time to bring it out because...
Yeah. If you're saving it for the postseason, you got to get to the postseason first.
You got to get to the postseason. This season's on the brink of spiraling out of control. You better wake up. All right, we're going to come back. Baseball's at it again. An absolutely stupid idea. This is a Volkswagen filled with clowns. And a fine handed out in the NFL, and Trevor Lawrence might be actually the blame for his own demise and some other musings as well. And a little bit more college football, and Georgia getting ready for Texas as well. This is Tribble at Night, baby. Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Pace yourselves. It's going to be a crazy night.
This is 929 The Game tonight.
On Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Welcome back. Baseball's annoying. It's Tribble at Night, by the way. Sports Radio, 929 The Game. So there's a new rule that's being bannered about the golden at-bat rule in Major League Baseball. They're discussing it. The rule would allow for a team to choose one at-bat to use its best hitter no matter where they are in the lineup or in the game. I just think it's a step too far. I just think, why not? Let's just bring back MTV's Rockin' Jock Softball.
I was going to say,
where if you hit a ball in a certain spot, it's worth 12 runs. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, the word of the last segment was gimmickry.
Yes,
this is gimmickry. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on a campaign to see if the MLB will make me the commissioner because I promise I know for a fact, even though I've never run a business, I can run the MLB better
than
Rob Manfred
can. The thing is, though, your level of corruption, we know about you, what you do on the side, the arms dealing, this, the hush money, all the things you do, Dom. We know this. I respect it. But, I think this is just a step too far. I like the pitch clock.
I like the pitch clock.
You don't need to be out there being a human rain delay between pitchers.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't like the bigger bases. I think that's
like that
stupid.
Either. Yeah.
That's like Ronald Acuna. Everybody made a big deal out of, what, the 40-70 year?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Just stop. Do I like the limited number of throws over to first base? I do like the fact the stolen base kind of came back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I really like that either, but it's not the worst thing. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, and the fact, and like, it's, The fact that this is even getting buzz, as he said, like that it's even being mentioned is crazy enough. But the fact that like apparently people are kind of siding with it is ridiculous. This is not baseball.
No, it's not baseball. And I know you've got to try to do everything you can to appeal to the younger crowd. But you know what? Screw the younger crowd. No, you can't do that, actually. But this is just clownish, if you ask me. You're trying too hard to skim. It's like this stupid NBA Cup, this in-season tournament. Who cares? Is that really something worthy of hanging a banner up for?
Like the floors are nice. Floor designs are cool. Some of them are an eyesore, but some of them are cool. But like at the end of the day, it's like this is all just these are all still the same regular season games. You're just dressing them up a little bit differently.
Yeah, I mean, and I remember we had Steve Kuhn, of course, president of the Hawks. We had him on a few months ago, and I was making fun of this notion. He goes, "Well, you won't be invited to the party." I go, "Well, I want to come to the party." What are you going to hang a banner for winning the NBA? That's sad.
Right. Yeah.
That's sad.
That's like who was it that hung up their world champion banner?
Central Florida?
Yes, yeah, Central
National
Florida.
Championship yeah, banner? National no, championship. You were not national
no,
champions.
No.
That's stupid. You were not. Congratulations on a great year under Scott Frost.
Undefeated. Nice.
I bet Scott Frost wished he was staying there. Oh, by the way, did you see that Gus Malzahn leaving Central Florida going to be the offensive coordinator at Florida State?
Yep.
I wonder if it's the fact – now, he wasn't winning as much down there. I wonder if it's the fact that, like a lot of coaches, he doesn't want to be a head coach anymore because of the transfer portal and all the nonsense associated with college football.
Yeah.
And
let
you know
someone
what?
Else deal with
if I was a kid, I would accept the money. Oh, absolutely I would, of course. But is it really ultimately a good idea? And the transfer portal also, where if you suffer a little bit of adversity, well, I'm just going to go transfer somewhere else. I mean, it's ridiculous. West Virginia, guess whose name has come up possibly to be the new coach at West Virginia, one Jimbo Fisher. You know, he's from there. He grew up like a couple of miles from that stadium in Morgantown. So, and think about West Virginia. West Virginia used to be a pretty good program. They've been a joke.
Yeah.
They have not been ranked in almost 6 years.
Yeah.
They've beaten only three ranked teams in 6 years. Rich Rodriguez, remember, he left for Michigan. He had a toxic relationship with their then athletic director, I think his name was Ed Pastelong. Rich Rodriguez's name is being bannered about also. Eddie George's name has been kind of a sexy commodity. He's done some really wonderful things at Tennessee State.
Yeah, I like that one.
Because they were just terrible, and he's gradually gotten them better and better. I think they were 9-4 this year, got to the FCS playoffs, lost the playoff game, but Eddie George said, "Nope, I'm staying." And I kind of believe him, because normally you've always heard coaches say, "Nope, I am happy right here where I'm at, and then 2 days later, they take off for somewhere else." So Eddie George apparently staying there. But Jimbo Fisher, maybe to West Virginia. That's intriguing. I wonder if he's learned any lessons from that disastrous tenure at Texas A&M.
I was going to say.
And maybe they could get him on the cheap, too, because he got that $72 million buyout.
I was going to say.
What a country we live in where you can get $72 million to go away.
To leave.
Yeah. It's like CEOs of big corporations. You screwed up the company. I'm sorry. We're just going to have to give you $100 million to go away.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're fired. Here's
Clean
your severance
out your
pay.
Office. North Carolina, apparently, that's a pretty attractive job. More attractive than you think. Of course, Mack Brown is stepping down. The AD has gotten their finances in order. I think they have a pretty solid NIL package. They don't have to do any renovations. That's all already been done. Some reports, I don't know if this is true or not, that some SEC coaches and Big Ten coaches have reached out to North Carolina, but potentially taking that job. I don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea. No idea. But Mack Brown, of course,
I think
kind of retiring.
I could see some guys being attracted to the idea of maybe following in the steps of Mack Brown and maybe upholding that.
How about the fact just a
like
tick
that?
Less pressure? Of
yes,
course, there's always
yes,
pressure
and
to
that
win.
As well. Mm-hmm.
And the fact they said some SEC coaches, who could that possibly have been? Billy Napier? I don't think so. I'm trying to. Maybe the coach at Vanderbilt? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure who, but maybe. Maybe there's someone.
I don't know. Maybe just a little bit less pressure. You know, you can find your way to an ACC championship game. The waters aren't as turbulent.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you can probably back your way into an ACC championship game every once in a while.
I don't know if that's true or not, but it's interesting to consider, certainly. All right, NFL. How about this on Thanksgiving? The games weren't Bears and Lions ended up being a pretty interesting game, and of course, Matt Eberflus ends up getting fired because, well, the Bears had a chance to win it.
How do you not?
What was
call
it? 36 seconds left. You have a timeout left. You were in field goal range too.
In field goal range.
And you don't call a timeout. You finally run a play with about 7 seconds left. You throw an incompletion. Game over. And then Matt Eberflus, of course, goes to the locker room after the game, and he tries to give the typical spiel.
Mm-hmm.
And who was it? Jalen Johnson, the defensive back? He just started raising hell during the middle of Matt Eberflus's speech. Yeah, it was Jalen Johnson. He interrupted his coach's predictable and canned response after the loss. He just blew up, yelling obscenities. And basically the Bears, a constant embarrassing display of coaching malpractice. And I believe Matt Eberflus has the worst record in NFL history in one possession game, something like 2-19, something like that. And how about this? I did not know this until I saw it. You would think with all the turnover the Bears have had at head coach, this is the first time they've ever fired a coach in season.
In season, yep.
In season.
Yeah. The McCaskies are very patient, at the very least. They'll give you a whole season. They'll let you finish the year, typically. But this time, and it's so funny with the Bears because it really does feel like this is a team like that loss to the Commanders broke them. That Hail Mary.
It did. It absolutely broke them.
They were 4-2.
Wasn't Jalen Johnson the one that was taunting the crowd, too?
No, it wasn't. It was another defender.
Yeah, he's taunting the crowd before they lined up for the Hail Mary.
And
then
he's the one
that did. It broke them. It broke them.
They were 4-2 before that game. And since then, they've lost 6 in a row.
And it's not, on the surface, it's not necessarily a sexy potential hire, but Cliff Kingsbury, he's done a pretty good job with Jaden Daniels with the Commanders.
I will say.
And, of course, he's very familiar with that quarterback in Chicago because he was at USC with
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. Chicago's going to – that's probably the most attractive job. When you look at everything, like, they have everything in place. They have pieces on the defense. You have a young quarterback that you can build around. You have pieces already. Like, they're kind of set to go. You got to fix the offensive line, but it's going to be very attractive. I think it's Ben Johnson's job to lose, but
probably.
I think Cliff Kingsbury is probably their second is probably the backup option for them.
Well, who's going to take over for Brian Daboll? They're 2-10. What a disaster that's been. Daniel Jones was not your problem.
I was going to say, I don't think Brian Daboll is either. I think Daboll is a good coach.
You do
I think
he is.
I think Daboll is a good coach. I think that he got the most that he possibly could have out of Daniel Jones last year. And then you all took away the best player on this team in Saquon Barkley,
and then everything
fell apart.
You ship him off to a division rival. Now he's a bona fide MVP candidate,
exactly.
Too.
And now he had nothing to work with on this offense outside of Malik Nabers, but that doesn't matter because Daniel Jones can't get him the ball.
And, of course, Daniel Jones now ends up in Minnesota. And who's to say he can't play? He's got Josh Allen's size.
He's going
to
mess around and win a playoff game this year. Watch.
Could be.
He's going to be on that team.
Sometimes guys just need a change of scenery, or in Bryce Young's situation, maybe just to sit down for a little while because he is playing so much better now. The game has slowed down for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy. He's such a likable, humble kid.
Absolutely.
Ask Nick Saban about what he thinks of him.
Yeah.
But it is funny, though. Did you see that video footage of, I think it's preseason, Bryce Young's walking into the facility? He looked like a college, a high school junior.
Yeah.
With his backpack on, just such a little guy.
He looks like
tiny guy.
Every time I see him, he looks like when I was on college, I remember when they would have the high school kids come up and do like college tours, and you could always spot out the high schoolers on campus. That's what he looks like sometimes.
All right. And also, did you know Georgia Tech might end up having the top recruiting class in the ACC?
I did not
see that. They're butting heads with Miami in the ACC, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think what happened on Saturday night with Brent Key.
Oh, absolutely.
That enhanced.
I think they'll definitely
the attractiveness
end up with that number
one. Of that. I think, is Haynes King, he's back for another year, right?
I
think
heard
he
otherwise.
Is. I think he is. But, you know, there was talk, you know, when he got hurt, and Philo, the young freshman, came in. He looks like he's the real deal.
Yeah.
There was talk, well, Haynes King's probably going to transfer. I think after what he did Saturday night, I don't think he's
why
going anywhere.
Yeah,
I think Brent Key, please stay. Please stay.
I think Brent will definitely do everything as possible to be like, hey, man, one more.
That was just such – I just love what – I'm the guy that, you know, a lot of people can't understand how I can possibly be this way. But, you know, having grown up here, grew up in South Decatur, I grew up loving Georgia and Georgia Tech. I like them both to do well because I grew up going to Georgia Tech games. I grew up going to Georgia games. I've always just – I love Vince Dooley. I love Pepper Rodgers. I love Robert Levette. I love Herschel Walker. My dream is to have Georgia and Georgia Tech play on that Friday or Saturday after Thanksgiving when they're both ranked in the top 10. Never happened. It hasn't happened. And now, this rivalry, I think Georgia Tech's going to be really good for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. I mean,
you know why? They're playing with the attitude of their coach. His imprint,
exactly.
That rugged toughness of an offensive lineman, which Brent Key was at Georgia Tech, played for George O'Leary, who was rugged and tough. I hope that they can keep Buster Faulkner as their offensive coordinator, because Buster Faulkner is going to get some phone calls, certainly. But his game plan befuddled and bewildered Georgia. But what Brent Key has done at Georgia Tech is back. And I think they're – unfortunately this year, though, since they lost to Georgia, they're going to have to go to a cold-weather bowl game on a baseball field, you know, Fenway Park or Yankee Stadium. But, man, or they might end up playing USC. I'm not sure yet. Can you look up the bowl projections? Let me see where they have Georgia Tech maybe going. I thought for a while it was going to be the Sun Bowl with USC maybe, but all I got to see is what Brent Key has done at Georgia. And what a contrast. You saw the other rivalry games this weekend, fights breaking out. I think Georgia and Georgia Tech, after eight overtimes, there was no fight left. They were both just absolutely exhausted. The embrace that Kirby Smart and Brent Key shared. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm an old sentimental softy at heart. That was just something amazing. That big, strong man just emotionally exhausted, basically collapsing in the arms of his rival, Kirby Smart. And they are friends. They do have a personal relationship, and they played against each other as well. And Brent Key had some success playing under George O'Leary against the University of Georgia. So what's the bowl projection for
looking Tech? Here, I want to make sure this is correct here, but I see that one projection has them actually to be going up against, the Army in the Military Bowl?
Army is pretty good. Good story this year. What they finally lost a game. Who did they lose to? Was it to Notre Dame that they lost to finally?
Yeah, I believe so.
And I believe Army and Navy were ranked, both ranked for the first time since like the 40s this year. So that's a good story. I wish it'd be a little sexier of a matchup, though. Maybe an Iowa State or somebody like that. But we'll see. That hasn't shaken out as of yet. But it's just great to see what Brent Key has done at Georgia Tech.
I'm seeing a couple. I'm just looking at a couple because that was one projection. I do see one that says, Jerry Palm at CBS has Georgia Tech going to El Paso to take on USC in the Sun Bowl.
They played in the Sun Bowl years ago, too, actually. And Georgia Tech beat them like 10 years ago or something like that. But did you know that I am convinced I got Brent Key the job at Georgia Tech?
Really?
They were on the brink of hiring Willie Fritz, and it was basically breaking news, Georgia Tech finalizing a deal with Willie Fritz to be the new head coach, of course, from Tulane. I came on the air, and I pitched a fit. I go, what are you thinking about? You've got a guy that loves Georgia Tech, played at Georgia Tech, understands the politics and the bureaucracy of Georgia Tech, has an offensive lineman mindset, played for George O'Leary, who I thought was a wonderful coach. And I think when I begged and pleaded on the air, they hired Brent Key. So, Coach Key, thank you. You're welcome.
I would say, I actually think I remember. I think I remember that rant.
I know. But Georgia Tech, they're going to be a force to reckon with. Brent Key's going to be Kirby Smart within the next couple of years. I guarantee you. And Haynes King, what can you say about him? I don't know what he'll be in the NFL. He might be a Taysom Hill type. Similar size. Similar toughness. I mean, Haynes King, shifty when he runs, but he also looks for and welcomes contact, like a Taysom Hill. So much respect for Taysom Hill and Haynes King and Georgia Tech. All right, coming up top of the hour, college football playoff rankings are out, and it's laughable. Georgia, do they have anything left? And they're about without Texas. They have a hell of a lot to play for, though. All right, it's nighttime on Sports Radio 929 The Game, actually triple at night.